Is that the mic working?
Spirit. Amen. So you'll notice, first, welcome to worship here at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome especially to visitors, those who have found us this week or, you know, within the past couple of weeks. Welcome to all of you who are here all the time as well. And when I say Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder, Colorado, you might notice that the place where Boyd is playing from is not the place where I am, which is what we usually do. But here's the thing. So this past week, we got a diagnosis of illness in our household, not COVID. We got tested for the COVID, and we're in the clear in that regard so far, at least. We got test results back, and those of us who got tested are negative. But we did get a diagnosis of strep throat. And so because of the incubation period of strep throat, and we're still within that window, and there's a possibility that I got infected with strep, and I don't want the singers to be infected with strep, or I suppose the piano player, or anybody for that matter. We're taking an abundance of precaution, and I'm at my house today to lead worship. So that's why our setting's a little different. And the transitions between who's doing what might be a little slower, it's gonna be okay. Because like I've been saying for years, no matter how bad worship goes, Jesus still shows up. Other announcements, I want to invite you, we will be participating in communion this morning if you'd like to. So I wanna make sure that you get bread and wine or grape juice for yourself at your home altar. You can't see my home altar that I set up right here, but it's standard program, regular glass with wine in it, and a regular standard loaf of bread that's still in the dish towel that I used to wrap it up in last night when I baked it. So it doesn't have to be super fancy. Bread and wine or grape juice is perfect. Couple other things. So there's some holidays coming up in the church year. Reformation Sunday is coming up. Reformation Sunday is that holiday that happens on October 31st, where everybody dresses up as their favorite Reformation era character. I've dressed up as Martin Luther and Philippe Melanchthon in the past. But Reformation Sunday, we celebrate the last Sunday of October. And I will be inviting you, so you can think about this between now and then. I will be inviting you on that Sunday to ask questions of the church. Any question, doesn't matter what question. For instance, what's the difference between transubstantiation and consubstantiation? It would be fine. Or why is Safeway better than King Supers would be fine. So any question is great. So I'm going to be inviting those questions on Reformation Sunday. You can think about them between now and then. And then the following Sunday, November 1st, the first Sunday of November, is All Saints Sunday. All Saints Sunday is one of those days where we make a special point of remembering those beloved saints who have come to the end of their baptismal journey over the past year since the last All Saints Sunday. And so we want to make a point of doing that at Holy Love or at Grace. So please, if there's someone beloved to you, whether they're a member of the congregation of Grace or not, please submit their name to either me or Amy. Email would be ideal, but any of the submission methods will be fine. And we can include those people in our litany of saints. Finally, our partner in ministry this month for Grace is Lutheran Family Services. There's a whole write-up at the back of the bulletin about Lutheran Family Services. LFS is an organization that's been doing phenomenal work on behalf of folks that need a little bit of extra attention from the church, you might say. Orphans, kids that need to be adopted, immigrants, refugees, any number of different folks receive services from Lutheran Family Services. So I invite your contributions to that ministry. If you want to make a contribution, again, write partner in ministry or PIM on the contribution so that we know. Actually, there's one other thing. This coming Wednesday, we will be having Wednesday evening prayer in the courtyard. And again, that's a limited group. We'll be outside. There's no singing. There's praying together and hearing music. And we keep our physical distance from each other. And also, we need you to sign up ahead of time online to so that we know who's going to be there and that we have enough space for everyone. So there's a link in the back of the bulletin for that as well. We turn now to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Amen. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We hoard your gift of salvation for ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. People of God, God hears the cries of all who call out in need. And through the death and resurrection of Christ, our Savior, grants mercy to all creation. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, may we live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen. Thank you.
to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder this world sees her oppressed, my skin's rent asunder, her heresy's distressed. Yet, saints, what hoard are keeping? The cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let us pray. Beloved God, from you come all things that are good. Lead us by the inspiration of your Spirit to know those things that are right. And by your merciful guidance, help us to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
We read responsively Psalm 80. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You cast out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the towering cedar trees by its boughs. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river. Why have you broken down its wall so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes? The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold and tend this vine, preserve what your right hand has planted.
The second reading is from Philippians. Paul writes, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, O to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to them, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenant seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So I'm just going to assume that some of y'all are familiar with Shakespeare's sonnets. I know Shakespeare is not scriptural, but I still am going to assume that some of you are familiar with Shakespeare's sonnets and that at least some of you know Sonnet 130. As for me, I'm just going to admit that while I've studied the sonnets and the idea of the sonnets way back in the day, Sonnet 130 is the only one that I'm actually even just a little bit familiar with. And I'm familiar with it because it's a love poem. I know lots of the sonnets are love poems. Shakespeare sonnets and other authors' sonnets are love poems. But Sonnet 130 is a love poem that says, it really says nothing kind or flattering about the poet's beloved. I mean, you might know it starts, "My mistress's eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red." It's and then it goes through to do the same thing. The sonnet goes through to disparage her hair, her cheeks, her voice, and her breath. It really says nothing nice about the object of the love poem, the one to whom the poem is written. So to me, it's a confusing love poem and a little bit funny, but a confusing love poem, since usually love poems say something lovely about the beloved and offer praises about whatever qualities the poet can come up with. "My mistress's eyes are beautiful diamonds shining in the sea," or something like that. Coral has no comparison to the vibrancy of her lips red. I'm just making this up, but that would be a different way that it might make more sense as a love poem. I mean, it's beautiful, Sonnet 130, and it's funny, but it doesn't do what you would expect a love poem to do. And so when I read the Isaiah selection from today's for today's lectionary reading, Sonnet 130 is the first thing I thought of, because Isaiah, this section from Isaiah, starts out claiming to be a love song, and then it kind of goes off the rails. I mean, it's a love song about a vineyard, but then the vineyard doesn't produce grapes, and then the owner tears down the fence so that the what was planted there could be trampled down and destroyed, and presumably so that the wild animals can come in and feast on this vineyard that had been fenced off, but now is just open. I mean, it doesn't sound like a love poem to me, because not too far into this section of the love poem or love song in Isaiah, it takes a pretty significant turn. And things don't turn out the way they were expected to, or at least the way that I expected things to turn out. What we expect is not what happened. Sound familiar? I mean, that sentence, what we expect is not what actually happened, might be an appropriately descriptive sentence to describe, I don't know, our current reality in the world. Things are not turning out the way they were expected to. I mean, I talked to plenty of people, my own family included, at the end of 2019, who said, oh my gosh, thank goodness 2019 is over, because 2020 is going to be so much better. We expected something completely different than what 2020 is bringing us. I mean, if you were to tell me that you predicted that 2020 would be like 2020 has been, I very well may call you a liar to your face, because I'm not convinced that anybody could have actually predicted all of this. I mean, we're COVID pandemicking these days, and we really don't know what's next, not only in the COVID pandemic situation, but we don't know what's next in the virus understanding situation. And we don't really know how the virus works in that situation. Neither do we know how we're going to treat it eventually, although I trust we're going to get there, because I tend to believe that science works. I mean, well, shoot, let's just think about right this minute. As far as expectations, 10 to 1 says that less than half a dozen of us expected me to be preaching from in front of my fireplace this morning. I mean, most of y'all expected me to be in the church building in the sanctuary like I have been for months. But then we're taking an abundance of precaution with regard to sickness these days, which is not a bad thing. So when I think back to the beginning of when we started pandemicking back in March and April, what I remember is that in those days there was lots of talk, not only in the church, Grace maybe, but also the church writ large. Not only was there a lot of talk in the church, but also there was a lot of talk around society about slowing down, about we as a society changing the way we operate, about how maybe this pandemic and the isolation that we're invited to is a wake-up call for us to revise our habits to away from the unhealthy and toward the more healthy, which I was greatly hopeful about. I don't know about you. I don't even know whether you've been out driving around in the world these days, but I get out and drive around just a little bit. And I've noticed over the past week and a half or 2 weeks, a lot more car traffic on the roads, which makes me wonder if we as a society are still missing what's important, because we seem to be getting back to our old habits. I wonder if we're like the tenants who kill the son of the landowner, because the tenants seem to see only their own greed, only what they want, and not take into account what the other person wants or needs, and don't recognize what's actually important. Or like the end of the Isaiah section, where the vineyard owner, the conversation about the vineyard owner shifts from being about a vineyard and the owner to being about the Lord of hosts and the house of Israel. And the people of Judah are God's pleasant planting. But what God expected, justice was not what God saw. Instead, God saw bloodshed. What God expected was righteousness. What God heard instead was a cry from people who had been pushed to the edges. I mean, one of the great things about the church, one of the great things about the church today, and one of the great things about the church at any time, but especially about today, right, is that the church in the year 2020, and probably for the past 20 or 30 years, is no longer a central part of society. I mean, in some places, the church maybe arguably is a central part of society, but those places are becoming fewer and farther between in our culture. But the church is no longer a central part of society, at least not in most places, including Boulder, you might be well aware of, which makes it easier, in my opinion, for the church to be a countercultural witness, for the church to be an embodiment of the kingdom of God, for the church to be able to say that what the world claims to be important is not the center of our faith, but what the world claims to be important perhaps ought to be pushed to the side. And where we as the church have the opportunity to embrace those who society pushes to the edges. See, the truth is that the work God does is to turn things completely around. Those who society pushes to the edges, God brings to the center. And in order to make room at the center, God pushes those who society brings to the center a little further out to make room for more in the all-loving embrace of our God. I mean, what God does is to turn things completely around, to upend what we expect. Think about Jesus, right? Somebody comes up to Jesus, there's no more wine at the party. Jesus responds, completely unexpected, why don't you taste what's in that water jug over there? By the way, that's the Pastor Matthew translation of John chapter 2. Or Jesus is preaching to a whole bunch of people and it's time to eat. The disciples tell him there's no food for anybody. And Jesus says, well, take these 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 10,000 people. Completely not what we expect. Or who's a neighbor to the traveler who got beaten up and robbed in the story Jesus tells? Well, the one who's really the neighbor would be a person who's part of the group that we hate, that we push to the edges, that we marginalize, but who God brings back to the center, because every single one of us, no matter who we are, every single one of us, no matter who we see, every single one of us is at the center of God's love and God's mercy and God's embrace. And God's upending of our world means that we too, no matter who we are, we too are welcomed into the center of God's eternal and loving embrace. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Trust in God to guide you. We-
with gentle hand rule your ways. You'll find that God is there beside you when crosses come in trying days. Trust then in God, unchanging love. Build on the rock that will not move. What gain is there in anxious weeping, in helpless anger and distress? If you are in your Savior's keeping, in sorrow will he love you less. For Christ so took for your cross will bring you safe through every loss. The Lord a restless heart is holding in peace and quietness content. We rest in God, good will unfolding, what wisdom from on high has sent. God, who has chosen us by grace, knows very well ways unswerving. Offer you service faithfully. Trust heaven's word through undeserving. You'll find God's promise is true to be. This is our confidence indeed. God never fails in time of need.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Holy God, you call us to work for peace and justice in your vineyard. Refresh the church with your life, that we may bear fruit through work and service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you for the abundant harvest of the earth. Bless and care for those whose hands bring the fruits of the earth to the tables of all who hunger. May we be inspired by your servants who care deeply for your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Curb the impulses of greed and pride that lead us to take advantage of others. Grant that world leaders, especially those who will soon be elected, seek the fruits of the kingdom for the good and welfare of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sustain all who suffer with the promise of new life. Assured of your presence, heal our pain and suffering, and equip us to embrace all bodies aching for wholeness of mind, body, and soul. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all managers in our community and for all who seek employment. Give hope and a future to those who lack meaningful work, those who have been marginalized or abused in the workplace, and those who desire new opportunities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you for the saints who teach us to live faithfully in your vineyard. May our chorus join theirs until our labor is complete. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you, whether it's those who are around you physically or those who are around you through the magic of the technology.
Amen.
the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of our blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Raise our table with your presence and give us a foretaste for the feast to come.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet, nourish us with this food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O God. Through your beloved servant Jesus Christ, you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born of Mary and shared our human nature. With loving arms outstretched upon the cross for us, Jesus broke the chains of evil, death, and destruction. By the resurrection, your will was fulfilled, and you gathered a holy people together to offer you praise. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
To you indeed be glory, Almighty God, for on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus gathered with his friends for a meal that remembers and anticipates freedom. On that night, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Then again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. As we share this bread and cup, O God, and as we remember Christ's death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit into our dispersed midst, that we who share these gifts may be fed and forgiven and strengthened to serve you. Amen. As Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, this table is God's table, and Christ is the host here, And this table is God's table, whether it's this coffee table that's next to me or the altar in the sanctuary or whatever space you use in your own home. All are welcome at this table. Those of you who are by yourselves, hold on for just a minute. Those of you who are with others, like Boyd and Santiago are in the sanctuary there, I invite you to serve each other, saying the body of Christ given for you as the person receives the bread, and saying the cup of Christ shed for you as the person receives the cup. Now, those of you who are by yourselves, wherever you happen to be, I invite you to take the bread now and hear these words spoken to you. The body of Christ given for you. Now I invite you to take the cup, the wine, or the grape juice, and hear these words spoken to you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Remember, if you have only bread or only wine or grape juice, Brother Martin Luther reminds us that God is fully present in each element, and so receiving only the bread or only the wine is complete forgiveness. Further, those of you who might not receive communion for whatever reason today, please remember and recognize that God's mercy and love and forgiveness are fully available and present for us in myriad ways additional to Holy Communion. And now, may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that once again you have fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. May God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and lead us into the way of truth and life. Amen.
Temples adorn like lamps.
they shall still in my bosom be born.
Go in peace, remember the poor. Thanks be to God.